obviously, you know, another tough year. Another very tough year. You know, we got a pretty good roster, in my opinion, that just kind of sitting over there in street clothes that's not available. So it was tough to assess anything, really, you know, other than just kind of getting our rookies and our young fellas some run and some experience. But, yeah, it's just another tough go at it, man. I would say, you know, the missed opportunity would be just that, you know, we would have had enough time to actually grade ourselves, you know, if that makes sense, on where we're at. You know, it's tough to even say at this moment, you know, where we even are. Again, other than the obvious of just our young fellas kind of coming along, but, you know, we never got to see so many things together with some of our veterans and some of our players. So, yeah, it's just kind of tough for real. But I wouldn't say a lost season. It's been very unfortunate.
This is Tumani Kamar, and it's time to open up the briefcase with KC Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 89 of The Briefcase. I am your host, KC Holdall, and that was Chauncey Billups as we near the end of the season discussing Portland's 2023-24 campaign and the disappointment that was involved in it, primarily due to injuries and the season just not getting off to the start that the team would have liked to have seen. There is one more game left in the season, Sunday, Sacramento Kings, 12:30 start time. But on Friday night, the Trailblazers ended their home season with a loss to the Rockets and started to do exit interviews before the team heads their separate ways, at least for a while, as the season comes to a close. So this will be the first of our exit interviews edition of The Briefcase, but we'll also discuss the last three games at home for the Trailblazers this season, Tumani Kamara being honored, how the Blazers have fared versus the spread as the season comes to a close, and hear from Scoot Henderson, who has one more game to play and who has been playing well, but did his exit interview Friday night after the loss to the Rockets on this edition of The Briefcase. Well, before we get to the exit interviews, let's go ahead and just run down the last week of the season for the Portland Trail Blazers at Moda Center. On Tuesday, the Trailblazers lost to the Pelicans 110-100. Portland took a three-point lead into the half, but were outscored by 12 in the third quarter before going on to lose by 10 to CJ McCollum and a Pelican squad that is really rounding into form going into the postseason. And as we've seen quite a bit lately, the Blazers just don't have the firepower to come back when they're facing good teams right now. They can stay close, sometimes they could even build a lead, but if they get down by more than 10, particularly against a good team, they just don't have the personnel, they don't have the numbers right now to be able to come back in those games. And that's what happened in the Pelican game and a couple of games subsequently after that. In the loss to New Orleans, DeAndre Ayton had 30 points, 13 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton ending his season incredibly well. Did leave Friday's game early. Not sure exactly what his status is going to be for Sunday's game. I wouldn't all be surprised if they sat DeAndre in that game. But either way, a very strong end to the season for DeAndre after a bit of an up and down start. Definitely one of the better things happening in Portland season, at least since the All-Star break. The other player who's been playing great for the Trailblazers, Scoot Henderson, putting up 19 points and a career-high 15 assists in the loss to the Pelicans. Chris Murray also had a nice night as well, 14 points, while Duop Reith and Delano Banton each had 12 points apiece. Blazers had a Wednesday off before hosting the Warriors Thursday at Moda Center. And even though the Warriors aren't the team that they once were, still bringing quite a few fans into Moda Center with them, which is always a bit disappointing. Obviously, with the way the Blazers season has gone, you don't necessarily expect people to show up on a night-in, night-out basis, but it's still really disappointing to hear the crowd blow up when Steph Curry hits a shot. And I like Steph Curry. No shade on the guy, but you don't like it when it sounds like the opposing team is actually the home team. And unfortunately, that is what it felt like Thursday night. Blazers lose that game 192. Once again, another close game through the first three quarters. Blazers end up running out of gas in the fourth quarter. So much so that the Warriors go on a 16-1 run and the Blazers go over 5 minutes without a field goal in the fourth quarter. And that basically is the game. 25 points, 11 rebounds for DeAndre Ayton, 18 points, 12 assists for Scoot Henderson, though I believe he did have 9 turnovers in that game, 17 points, 16 rebounds for Jabari Walker, another player who's had a great finish to his season. Jabari, an absolute monster on the boards. He also left Friday's game early, I believe with a knee injury. So again, not entirely sure if we're going to see Jabari in the final game of the season. But at this point, the Blazers were down to basically two players in uniform on their bench at the end of the Rockets game. You can't sign guys to 10 days at this point, at least I don't think you can. So I don't know exactly who's going to be available for that game in Sacramento, but I think it's going to be pretty tight in terms of how many players are available, whether they're able to meet the minimum for that game. And that's going to be a game too in Sacramento that the Kings still need to win. They are fighting for position in the play-in, and I haven't looked at the standings super closely as of late, at least that part of the standings, but I would imagine that the Kings, once again, are going to need to play that game out, win that game in order to put themselves in a better footing going into the play-in. And finally, that brings us to Friday's game, the last game of the season at Moda Center. Blazers falling to the Rockets 116-107 Friday night. Blazers actually won two quarters and tied another quarter, but it was the second quarter in which they were outscored 31-16 that once again didn't necessarily end the game, but basically gave the Rockets all the cushion they would need to come out of that game with the victory. Even though the Blazers weren't able to get the win, perhaps the best offensive game of the season for Scoot Henderson, a very nice way for him to close out his rookie season at home. 30 points on 10 of 23 shooting from the field, 6 of 7 shooting from 3, which is just one short of the rookie record that Damian Lillard and Anfernee Simons hold for most three-pointers in a game for a rookie. 30 points to go with 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block in 34 minutes. Scoot had a little bit of a growing quad issue, I guess, as well at the end of that game. Sat, I think, like the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game. So once again, not entirely sure what his status is going to be for Sunday's game. But if that was his last game of his rookie season, a very nice one to go off on. Shot almost 50% from the field. Missed just 1 of his 7 three-point shots. The three-point shots that he did take looked fantastic. He even hit a half-court heave, which we haven't had a whole lot of lately this season, either by players or by those he was taking the toy to half-court shot. So that was great to see as well. So once again, 30 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds for Scoot Henderson. Very nice night. Nice way to close out his rookie season at home. Delano Banton also had a double-double, 28 points, 10 rebounds, while also getting 3 assists and a steal and 2 blocks in 38 minutes. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists for Chris Murray. 10 points, 4 rebounds for Duop Reith to go along with 2 blocks as well in 19 minutes. Blazers shot just 39% from the field, but 34% from 3, but just 72% from the free throw line in that game. Rockets had quite a few players missing as well, playing on the second night of a back-to-back after losing in Utah to the Suns on Thursday night, able to come into Portland, get the victory there. So Portland ends their season with an 11-30 home record. They're 21-60 on the season with one game to play. Once again, Sunday in Sacramento versus the Kings, 12:30 start time, Root Sports, Rip City Radio 620. Moving on, Thursday night, Tumani Kamara was given the Maurice Lucas Award, which is the award that was created in 2010, which is given out annually by the team to honor the Trailblazer player who best represents the indomitable spirit of Maurice Lucas through his contributions on and off the court, as well as in support of his teammates and the organization. Not only does Tu get a nice plaque, he also gets $5,000 to give to the nonprofit of his choice. In his first season with the Blazers, Kamara appeared in 70 games, 49 of those starts, while averaging 7.5 points, 4.9 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 0.9 steals, and half a block per game. Amongst all NBA rookies selected in the second round of the 2023 draft, Tumani ranks first in steals per game, first in total rebounds, first in total assists, and first in total steals, while he also ranked second in total points, total blocks, and in three-pointers made. Tumani is one of only 2 rookies this season who has recorded at least 350 points and 340 rebounds, along with 65 steals and 35 three-pointers. The other guy is Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if there's exactly anything to take out of that combination of stats, but either way, very nice rookie season for Tumani. Just the second Blazer rookie to win the award, Damian Lillard was the other. Congratulations to Tumani. If there's any player on this team that reminds me of Maurice Lucas, it's definitely Tumani Kamara. Glad to see him win that award. Glad to see what Tumani was able to do his rookie season. Interested to hear what he has to say about his rookie season when we talk to him at Exit Interviews on Monday. But until then, congrats Tumani. Keep doing what you're doing. Moving on, looking at the standings with just one game to play, the Blazers are currently fourth from last in the NBA with a 21-60 record, which means they're now tied with the San Antonio Spurs for the fourth best odds going into the draft lottery. Detroit Pistons, the worst at 14-67. Washington Wizards, not far behind at 15-66. Charlotte Hornets, now at 20-61. If the Blazers hadn't won that game in Charlotte, they would be tied with the Hornets right now, or at least conceivably they would. Maybe the Hornets don't go on to win one of the games they've won since then if they had defeated the Blazers. But either way, they now are with the Wizards and the Pistons with the 3 best lottery odds. bottom three teams all get the same odds going into the draft lottery. After that goes Blazers, Spurs, who are tied once again at 21-60. The Spurs beating the Denver Nuggets Friday night, and a bit of a shocker there. Toronto Raptors at 25-56 are next. Memphis Grizzlies at 27-54. Utah Jazz at 31-50. Brooklyn Nets at 32-49. The takeaway from all that is, as of right now, the Blazers will have a coin flip with the Spurs if they end up tied at the end of the season to figure out which team gets the better of the lottery odds. I'm not sure if they split both the odds for the fourth and the fifth worst teams, or if one of those teams gets the fourth spot and the other gets the fifth spot. I don't know exactly how that tiebreaker works. What I do know is it's just a coin flip. It's not based off of head-to-head or any other thing like that. It's just you flip a coin, team that wins the coin flip gets the better odds. Draft lottery, still I think at least a month away, if not longer. So we'll have some time to figure out exactly what those odds are. But as of right now, very likely the Blazers will end up at least fourth from the bottom, though there's always a chance they slide into that third spot and maybe get the best possible lottery odds. I don't know exactly how that would work with a three-way tie for the bottom with the three teams all getting the same odds. I don't know how they break that up. I'm sure they've thought about that at some point in time. But the standings, even after 82 games, a lot of teams very close to each other at the bottom, and a lot of teams very close to each other at the top. The top of the Western Conference will be decided on the last day of the season, which is Sunday, which should be quite interesting. Plenty of games to pay attention to on Sunday. Be sure to check those out. In one of our last check-ins of the betting markets on the season, the Blazers have gone 5-1-1 in their last seven games versus the spread. They were 14-point underdogs to the Pelicans and lost by 10. They were 13-point dogs to the Warriors and lost by 8. And they were 17-point underdogs to the Celtics in the last game of the seven-game road trip and ended up losing that game by 17. So that was the push. The loss came on Friday. 6.5-point underdogs to the Houston Rockets end up losing that game by 9. So as of right now, the Blazers are 39-40-2 versus the spread this season with one game to play. I can only imagine what the spread is going to be in that game on Sunday with a Kings team that needs to win going up against a Blazer team that is battered even by Blazer standards. I hope you had a great season, maybe made a little bit of money, and I wish you only the best in all of your future gambling endeavors. And that brings us to Scoot Henderson's exit interview, in which he discusses his rookie season, what he feels like he improved upon, what he's still working on, some of the things he's going to focus on in the offseason, leadership, where he's going to be at during the offseason, and just a few other general thoughts about his rookie season. Here's Scoot Henderson's exit interview, which took place after the game Friday night at Moda Center.
Scoot, does having a game like this, not only at home, but at the end of the year, especially after the last two games where you were frustrated last night with the turnovers, where you can put it all together, does that matter to have something like kind of a springboard going into the towards the offseason with one game left?
Yeah, definitely. Just these last few games. Really, it's just been fun to play. Really, it's been fun to play with the guys, and know that the season is coming to an end, but still with the same goal. You know, whether it's the first few games, whether it's the last few games, and I think, you know, like you said, a little bit frustrated with the turnovers and stuff like that. But knowing that things like that are going to happen, and like I said last night, just always on that next play mentality. So,
what do you make of year one?
I think, you know, first and foremost, I want to say that I'm blessed to be here in Portland. You know, they opened me with open arms, and they accepted me, and it's been fun to play here, you know, with the fans and even outside the court, you know, with everybody else. And, you know, I'm just repping a Portland jersey, they're red, white, and black. But it's been a year full of experience and learning experiences. It's been fun, though. Like I said, at least, you know, I have the best job in the world, and that's being able to come here and do my job at a high level. So,
what do you feel like you learned? Like you say, learning experience. What do you feel like you learned from night one to now?
Things that aren't on the stat sheet, whether it's the traveling, whether it's just the scouting, getting to know players, different players' tendencies. I think that's something that's really common in the league. And, you know, just what Chauncey and all the coaches always talking about it, you know, with the vets, they always like, you know, this guy, you know what he doing, like things like that, that I can carry over to next year, that I'm going to know next year and things like that, that I learned.
What would you say you maybe grew the most this season at Scoot?
I think my leadership. I think I grew as a leader and as a point guard, as a communicator on both sides of the floor and off the court as well. Just trying to bring guys together, whether it's from me or whether I'm telling somebody to tell somebody this. I think I grew a lot there. And my next play mentality, you know, it wasn't as good as it was last year, and it's not going to be as good as it is next year. So I think that's just going to continue to get better as well.
Were there ever moments when you were down on yourself or disappointed with how things were going?
No, never been moments in this season where I was down on myself, especially just with the support system I have around me. You know, there's no way impossible where I could doubt myself. You know, the more you start to doubt yourself, the more I start to lose that ODD mindset, being overly determined to dominate. And that's my mindset. That's how I have to go about every single day. And as long as I have that, there's no way I could doubt myself or even try to down myself.
Did you learn anything new about yourself this past season?
I learned that I can get over the hump. I learned that I know not to listen to whatever who I'm saying, you know, and that I'm strong and that I have my team with me the whole time, that I'm a young point guard, but, you know, that's not going to affect who I am as a person or things like that. But I just learned that I'm a strong individual, and I knew that already. So just coming into a new area, a new environment, still with the same mindset.
How important has Chauncey been for you?
Chauncey's been very important. You know what? Our relationship has grown and throughout the year. It wasn't as it is now as it was in the beginning. I think we just continue to grow tighter and tighter game by game. And the more we watch film together, I could feel like, you know, the little aura around us. So,
have you thought at all about whether you want to play summer league again?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I think I'd play summer league. As bump, you know, that's good bump, you know. So wherever your hoop is, you know, I'm with it.
Scoot, was there, you know, away from basketball, you know, during the season, was there anything, you know, off the court, you know, like books you read, music you listened to, anything that you kind of did that away from basketball?
Yeah, I was reading a few books. I was about to finish the 48 Laws of Power. I'm like almost at the end of that one. I stopped reading that though. That got a lot of stories in it. I finished the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success early on in the season. What else? Oh, the 5th Agreements. I finished it. I finished that. But really, getting my house together, that's been the most fun part. You know, you got a new house, and honestly, I got a lot of space to put whatever I like. You know, so my mom might not like it, but I love it. So.
Is there anything from those books that you mentioned that you kind of brought to the court?
Yeah, definitely. And the 5th Agreement, I think the 5th Agreement is pretty narcissistic, but the 48 Laws is, but and the 5th Agreement, it just taught me how everybody goes on about their day, basically. Just how everybody has their vision of what life is, how everybody has a different way of seeing things, and I think I took that on the court as if different personalities in the locker room. And, you know, that's how one person sees it, and that's how another person sees it. And then me in the middle, I just have to, as a leader, as a point guard of the team, as a young point guard of the team, I have to control that some way. I have to approach different people with a different way. You know, I might have to, come on, let's do it, rather than, are you good? You know what I mean? Just the way I approach different people and not just players, but staff, whatever it is.
Scoot, what are you planning on working on this off season?
I plan on working on my overall game. You know, obviously with just ball handle with contact, finishing, explosiveness, quick twitch, mind, my body, and shooting, obviously, and, you know, really just all over. You know, watch a film on how I can attack certain situations throughout the system. Yeah.
Was it disappointing to not get a ton of time to play with Ant and Shaden because of injuries?
Yeah, I mean, I say it's disappointing that they were hurt, you know. But it's not disappointing that I wasn't able to play with them. You know, I think just the bigger picture is, I wish everybody would be healthy the whole season, but it just doesn't go that way. And knowing that next season, you know, it's a fresh start of everybody's body's healthy, mind's healthy, and, you know, I think we could just build on from that.
Scooter, are you going to be a goggles for life guy, or are you going to get LASIK or something this summer?
I was thinking about doing something like that, the LASIK or whatever, but it really depends on how I'm feeling at the beginning of next year. I like the goggles, so I might have to keep them going.
Have you thought about where you're going to spend your time at this offseason, or kind of what your rhythm is going to be in terms of workouts and rest and things like that?
Yeah, not much of rest. I think I'm going to get a little bit of rest, you know, maybe like few weeks or whatever, but just to get my mind and body back healthy. But I'm gonna be in a few places, whether it's LA with the runs. I think I'm gonna play a lot of basketball, but wherever I'm gonna be, it's gonna be a hoop. So whether you see me in China, whether you see me in Spain, it's gonna be a basketball court there. So just know I'm working.
So there you go, Scoot Henderson discussing his first season in the NBA. A bit of a rough start for Scoot, but definitely finished strong. I feel like the stuff that he said too, particularly in terms of kind of like blocking out the noise and in terms of leadership, I thought was really apt. Scoot Henderson has such a good mentality to him. He talks a bit about it there. He just doesn't doubt himself. And it's not even in like a conceited, I don't think I make mistakes kind of way. It's just the way that he carries himself. There's a confidence. He just doesn't get down about things. And I think that's one of the reasons, along with the way that he's played in the last month of the season, why you feel pretty optimistic about Scoot going into his second season. And I think maybe people forget that Scoot really didn't get to have much of an offseason because of that shoulder injury that he had at Summer League last year. So this year, healthy, hopefully a chance to get some work in, spend some time with his teammates, as he mentioned in there, getting quite a bit of run as well, which I feel like gives you a very strong feeling that Scoot's going to come back even better than he is now, which for a guy who the team is putting quite a few hopes on is something you absolutely need to see. Scoot is absolutely built for it. Really looking forward to what he's able to do next season with a full offseason. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. We'll be back Monday with more exit interviews. We already talked to Shaden and to Robert Williams. We'll talk to the other players on Monday. And we'll also talk to Chauncey Billups and Joe Cronin at some point in time, probably Monday as well. So you definitely want to like and subscribe to The Briefcase and all the other Blazer podcasts to make sure you're up to date on all those exit interviews before things quiet down going into the offseason. One more game to play. Thanks so much for joining me this season and today on The Briefcase. We'll talk to you soon. Go Blazers.